All right, everybody, welcome to another episode. This is episode 5 of the Family Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Andrew.
And I'm Anitra.
And we are here, and it's awesome.
We're one hand old. 5 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah. She's so smart, guys. She's so smart.
I spend a lot of time with small children.
Yeah. So we are tired because...
We went to Boston Fig.
We went to Boston Fig, Boston Festival of Indie Games. You can check it out online, bostonfig.com. It was a lot of fun, and we're not going to talk about it this week.
No, because we have something else we're going to talk about, but we are going to do a whole episode devoted to Boston Fig next week.
So that's going to be super cool. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about what we did this week, and we have an interview. I think we teased this last week. We have an interview with Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids, an RPG that is designed for children ages 4 to 10.
And we have a giveaway.
And combined with that, we have a giveaway. So first, we're going to talk about what we did this week.
Yes. What did we do this week? We played lots of games.
The most exciting thing we did this week is we played Shadows Over Camelot,
and we won! We won! It was so exciting! We finally beat that game.
We've
played this game like 5 or 6 times at least, mm-hmm. and this is the first time we have ever beaten the game.
So Shadows Over Camelot, if you're not familiar with it, it's a game by Days of Wonder. It is a cooperative game where you play as the Knights of the Round Table, and you're playing basically against the board. And there's a bunch of different scattered quests along the board, and you need to complete those quests to get white swords to put around the round table. If you fail quests, you get black swords put around the round table.
Basically, it's one of those games where there's really only one way to win, but there are lots and lots of ways to lose.
So,
and it's really hard.
Yeah, so we had four people
over.
Because we only had 6 people
playing.
We
had 6 people playing.
So we had 6 of the possible 7 people. This game supports 7 players. And we squeaked out a win finally after studying some online guides on how to play this game.
Studying some of the strategy.
Which is ridiculous. And we didn't even, there's a traitor mechanic in the game that we didn't use.
We promised ourselves we would never try the traitor mechanic until we've actually beaten the game once. So maybe in the future we will.
Maybe. But anyway, so that was only one of the many games that we played this week. What else did we play?
We also played Duple. One of our favorite party games.
We always play Duple. Duple is a fantastic game made by Andrew. I don't remember his last name. But,
we'll put some information about it in the show notes, but you'll hear us talk about it again.
You can Google it.
Over and over.
D-U-P-L-E. The same guy made a game called Anomia, A-N-O-M-I-A. Both games are excellent.
They're both great party games.
And there's lots of fun.
If you like the general idea of apples to apples, but are getting tired of it, of it being a party game that is easy to jump into.
Oh, okay. We did play a different game, though,
that's more like apples to apples,
called Cluster Fight. Now, there's another game out, it's called, like, Super Fight or something like that, which is, I think, made by, like, a larger publisher. I picked up Cluster Fight at last year's Boston Fig.
Yes.
And basically, the way the game works is this. You have a judge, just like apples to apples. Everybody in order plays a fighter card. There are all sorts of different people, Marquis de Sade, Batman, your grandma. All sorts of, like, I mean, there's a huge stack of
the Care Bears, the population of Liechtenstein.
Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy cards. So everybody plays a fighter card. Then everybody has the chance to vote on who they think is
going
to
win
the
fight.
And then in reverse order, so starting with the last person to play a hero, you put down effect cards. Sometimes
you modify the fight.
Sometimes it's a modification of the fight where, like, oh, well, it's all well and good that you got the Incredible Hulk, but it's a spelling bee. So it goes all the way back around, and then there's a judge who picks the winner. And so it's a little bit more involved than something like apples to apples, but it's a lot funnier.
Yeah, so much funnier.
And everybody loves it. So that game was super awesome as well. Let's see. What else did we play?
So we also played Batman Love Letter.
Yeah.
Batman Love Letter is a variation on the game Love Letter.
Love Letter. There's a couple different versions, like Munchkin Loot Letter, and then there's Batman Love Letter.
So it was fun. The only problem is it's supposed to be played over... until somebody gets to 7 points. Mm-hmm. And by the time somebody gets to, like, 4 points, everybody's pretty much done. Like, we're done playing the game.
Yeah, and we have a bona fide Batman super fan, and even he was
in our gaming group.
I'm kind of done with this.
So, like, it's a fun game, but it drags a little bit. So you just cut the length of the game in half, and then it's fine.
Yep, it's pretty great. So, yeah. Let's see. And then we wanted to talk about one other game, which is actually a video game that we played with our kids.
One game that we played with our kids. Little teaser into next week's. We found out about this game because of Boston Fig. It's called Project Rocket Golfing.
Project Rocket Golfing is great.
It is an iOS game. It is super fun, and it is only $1, but we will talk about it more next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually take an early break. We're only like 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go right into that interview. And then when we pick it up on the other side, we'll talk to you about the contest, which will be super exciting. Thank you for tuning in. I am super excited because we have our first interview for the Family Gamers podcast. I have with me Justin Halliday. He is the creator of Hero Kids, the RPG for kids ages 4 to 10. How are you doing today, Justin?
I am really good today, Andrew. Thank you for asking. Except awesome. That it's night here. I'm in Australia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're 14 hours ahead of me, so I better wrap this up because it's early in the morning for me, but late at night for you.
Like, how were you today, maybe, instead?
How was your day today?
It was tiring, actually, but, you know, I've got my second wind, so I'm ready.
Excellent. Awesome. So, all right. Well, you know, I reached out to you because you have created a game called Hero Kids, which is, and like I said, an RPG for kids aged 4 to 10. And, you know, I played this with my kids and they absolutely loved it. So I was hoping to get you on the show and we could sort of talk about, gaming, and RPG specifically, and then a little bit about Hero Kids. So why don't we get right into that? So at the Family Gamers, that's our thing, right? Play games with your kids. It's one thing, to be gamers, you know, a lot of adults that have kids or don't have kids are gamers. And then on the other side, it's something else to encourage your kids to play games because we all want, we want some time to ourselves. So we want our kids to play games, right? We want to encourage our children to grow in that way. But it's another thing completely, different to play games with your kids, not just supervise your kids, but actually playing games with your kids. So, as a game creator, what do you think about that? How do you kind of approach that mentality of playing games with your kids?
Yeah, that was definitely the motivation behind making Hero Kids. You know, when I made it, which was almost, when I first did it was almost 3 years ago now. My daughter was about 4 years old and I have a weekly D&D game that I play with my gaming group that I've played with for 25 years. And, you know, she started hanging around and wanting to be involved and, you know, looking at the characters and looking at what we were doing. And so I decided to put together a very simple version of D&D that a kid of her age and, you know, hopefully a bit older could play. And so the idea there was, you know, let's make a game that she can play that will work at her age group rather than the sorts of games that D&D are where they have a whole bunch of complicated mechanics around them. And, you know, at that age group, you know, they can play a little bit of games like role-playing games, but more than that, you know, we also play tons of other games like, you know, Uno is a good one that we play with them. And, you know, my daughter likes to play that and she's obsessed with chess at the moment for some reason. And, you know, we're not like by any means chess prodigies. I have a chess set around, but you know, half the pieces are broken. I have another chess set that's kind of crummy and, has all the pieces. But you know, she will bring that out every now and then and, you know, we'll have a game of chess. And, my son my daughter is now 7, so she's a bit older now. But my son is 4 now. And, you know, the other night, we have a game called Formula Day or Formula D, which is like a racing car game. So he's into racing cars. So he likes to bring that out every now and then and, you know, get to play with that and roll big dice and move his cars around. So they, you know, we love kind of playing stuff together getting into some games and, you know, hopefully the games themselves have some good parts to them. Like, you know, the Formula Day has some counting and those sorts of things, which is good for my younger son. And chess has a bit of strategy, which I invariably end up helping my older daughter Violet with. And, you know, effectively, I feel like I'm playing myself sometimes. It's like, why is she winning? But I've usually done that to myself.
That's funny. That's great. That's the kind of stuff that really makes it amusing to play with kids.
Yep.
We've got this built-in idea that we're supposed to win, and then it just doesn't always work out that way. But
yeah, we also we don't play a lot of video games with the kids. But again, you know, my daughter was sick once home from school with, you know, something crazy like pneumonia for a week, you know, just a low level pneumonia, not a bad one, not on her deathbed or anything. And, you know, because we were home for a week, I said, okay, well, I'll download Minecraft on the Xbox. and so that started Minecraft for her. And, you know, we ended up being, you know, addicted to, Minecraft and played, you know, probably half the week out of that, you know, the two of us playing Minecraft together and just building stuff and, you know, doing all the things there. And that's led to an obsession she has now with Stampy Cat videos on YouTube, and her and my sons love that. So pretty much I don't know whether it's like this in your house, but my kids don't generally watch television as much as they watch YouTube, and they'll watch, you know, Stampy or something else on YouTube. You know, they love those sorts of, you know, the Minecraft videos on YouTube, or, you know, other shows on YouTube, you know, where they're not watching like TV, like we used to watch TV. You know, you'd have to watch what was on. But now, you know, you've got this whole library of, you know, thousands and thousands of YouTube channels that have all sorts of, you know, interesting and wacky things on them.
That's funny. My kids are pretty much exactly the same. So we talked a little bit about games, and we talked a little bit about like Minecraft or sort of free play games that really encourage things like design and almost that more artistic aspect of things. But there's something special, I think, about role playing games, and we touched on how, you know, you started Hero Kids because of D&D, and I think that some parents are a little nervous about role playing games, and it might be because of sort of that 80s and 90s satanic stigma thing that D&D got, which, you know, was largely unwarranted, but there was some crazy people. But the reality is that there's really nothing wrong with role-playing games. And in fact, there's actually a lot of good things about role-playing games that you won't even find in conventional gaming, right? So in a more loosely structured RPG, there's a lot of really neat things that come out of that. Can you kind of talk about some of that? Some of like the pluses and minuses of RPGs in particular?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, RPGs are such a different form of game. You know, they're in some ways heavily structured like a board game, but then they're very unstructured in the role-playing elements of them. You know, the make-believe and the interactions that you have outside of, say, you know, combat in a role-playing game, which is very heavily kind of codified and very heavily mechanics-driven. But then you get into these situations where you're, you know, deciding what your character might do, or having conversations with other characters in the game and doing those in character. So there's these aspects of, you know, kind of externalizing your thoughts onto someone else, some other character you're playing, but also acting and those sorts of, skills, and as well as, you know, even problem solving. Like a lot of role playing games have, challenges you put in front of the players, and, you know, they have to think their way through them. So the other thing that we have, well, you mentioned there, was the kind of the old satanic panic, which, you know, I started role playing here, and as we mentioned, I'm an Australian. We never really had the satanic panic here in Australia about role playing games. So there's never really been that stigma around them as much as it seems like there has been one in America, where a lot of the people who play Hero Kids are from. And, you know, to the extent that, you know, I've had people comment on the game, because the Hero Kids is kind of set in this fantasy land, but, you know, it's a fantasy land where there's, you know, there's a pantheon of gods, and they're kind of, it's kind of Norse inspired. And, you know, that, for some parents and some people who want to play the game with their kids, you know, that idea of it not being a kind of a Judeo-Christian sort of religion in the game is off-putting for them, and they, you know, kind of have to blend the game into whatever their kind of belief system is. And you know, that's one of the hardest things about role-playing. Well, not one of the hardest things, but one of the things about role-playing games, I guess, is when it's your own children, you know, you can do whatever you want with them, but sometimes you end up playing with other people's children as well. You know, they get involved in the game with you. So, you know, it's always important to kind of know what's acceptable for other people's parents. You know, like role-playing games, a lot of them inherently have, you know, violence and challenges and those sorts of things in them. They're not kind of representing the world we have then, now, where they're representing this, you know, medieval fantasy land where there are trolls and orcs and things that want to kill you. And, you know, how you deal with those in the game, you know, might be more or less bloody depending on the age of the kids, or, you know, bloody or bloodthirsty or whatever. But, you know, in Hero Kids, you know, nobody gets killed. It's about knocking them out or whatever it is. But it's also not one of those games where, you know, where they just kind of run away. There is this implication that the monsters you're defeating are defeated. So, you know, what I try to do with the game is, design it so it's not kind of pandering to kids. You know, it's a game that is always treating the kids, you know, in a kind of a mature way, and treating the situations they're placed in into a mature way as well. So what it is designed to bridge that gap between younger kids playing, you know, this introductory role playing game, and then take them from there all the way to when they're 10 and 11, where they might be ready to play, say, Dungeons and Dragons, in a game where the situations are even more realistic, and, you know, there is more, more, not even implicit, but you know, actual bloodshed in, you know, killing in the games. Not that that's what the whole thing is about, but, you know, when you have role-playing games, you know, that's pretty much what most of the situations are about. There are enemies, they're out to defeat you, and you're out to defeat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just ran a quick campaign with my kids the other day, and they were lopping the heads off of rats left and right. So I guess they weren't knocking them out.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people's kids, parents and their kids have different ways of approaching that, and different levels of kind of bloodthirstiness that they come with. Right.
Well, the kids, I mean, anybody who's raised a boy knows that by about 4 or 5 years old, they're making guns out of sticks anyway, no matter what you do. Oh, so
yeah. I mean, my kids are the same. You know, we don't have toys that are guns, although I've got a bunch of kind of weirdly LARPing swords here, which, you know, the kids kind of can play with. But not that I LARP or anything, but they're kind of fun toys to have. But we don't have guns, and they'll invariably pick up a sword and turn it into a gun, you know, and I get this just from other kids. So, you know, it's one of those things which, as much as I try to say to them, you know, we don't play with guns, you know, they still do.
It's a hopeless cause, I think.
Yeah. I haven't succumbed to that yet, although there is a bunch of new Nerf guns that look really awesome. You know, and I'm like, oh, anyway, what can you do?
So, right. Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned being concerned about, you know, other parents and how other parents would approach, you know, these kinds of games, and if you're going to run a campaign with, you know, kids that are not your own, and how to deal with those kinds of things. Mm. You know, and I actually approached a parent last night because we had so much fun playing Hero Kids, you know, inside my family, and said, hey, listen, I'd love to have your boys over and play this game. And I kind of explained it a little bit, and I said, you know, there's magic users. I can just have them not be magic users if that's something you're concerned about or whatever. And so there's definitely some flexibility.
Yeah, how did they deal with that? Were they concerned about that aspect of it?
No, they didn't really care. I mean, these were church friends of ours, so sometimes, you know, that's a realm where you have to sort of toe the line, and some people will care about that, and some people won't.
Mm.
So these particular people, it wasn't a big deal, but so I'm looking forward to that. But I do want to spend some time really focusing on Hero Kids, because that's kind of how we met. And we talked a little bit about where the idea came from, with Violet, your daughter. And so this Hero Kids has been around for 3 years, you said, roughly?
Yeah, just about. In October, it will be 3 years.
So that's awesome. And so what's the plan for Hero Kids? What's next? I know you've been kind of supporting it with a bunch of, like, adventures and things like that. I've seen that.
Yeah, so when I first made Hero Kids, I'd made another, you know, fantasy heartbreaker D&D, you know, esque role playing game called Heroes Against Darkness, which was, you know, I'd just done the same as you, which is played a little bit of 4th edition, and we played a long kind of campaign there, and, you know, I liked lots of aspects of it, but, you know, I'd played D&D for so long then. You know, it kept changing, and, you know, I thought, okay, what is the thing that I like about Dungeons and Dragons, and can I do a game that's like that? So I ended up designing this game that I released for free. And then after that, I thought, you know, after that, Violet was four and a half, and you know, got interested in what we were doing. So I decided to make Hero Kids. And when I first released Hero Kids, it was, you know, the core game, which comes with this, this introductory adventure Basement of Rats. And then it also came with a bunch of other adventures that you could kind of, that you could buy. And, you know, I'd saved up a bit of money so I could go and get the art, and I released it, and I did a book, like a print and play version, that you can download for the PDS. And there's also an actual physical book that you can buy off the same site, which is DriveThruRPG, where I sell the game from. And that came out in October of 2012. And, you know, it did very well, wildly past my expectations. And I was lucky enough to actually get nominated for an Ennie Award in the family games category and win the silver prize for that, which is good. And I only got beaten by a Doctor Who game, which I felt pretty good about, because I'm not Doctor Who, right? I'm like one guy, you know. And pretty much what happened is that, you know, I never had any expectations about the game, but it's sold consistently over 3 years, and I have new people coming to it all the time, finding it, and I have existing, you know, parents coming back and, you know, almost wanting new content. So for the last 3 years, I've been, you know, building up a library of content for it. So now there's, I think, 8 fantasy adventures. There's, in total, including, the fantasy, version of the game, and there's a space adventures kind of sci-fi expansion for it. I think there's almost 60 characters that you can get for the game, and there's, you know, a total of 12 adventures, and there's, you know, some other expansions around equipment, and there's coloring books and all this sort of stuff. So, at the moment, I feel like, you know, it started as a hobby, and now it's almost a hobby that I'm married to. You know, it's like I come home and, you know, I've got my family, and then I've got my other family of Hero Kids, which I do a bit of work on, you know, as much as I can, you know, which is a bit less now that the kids are a bit older and they demand a bit more time, but, enough to keep it, supported. So, you know, I'll keep supporting it while there is demand for it, which, you know, it seems like there still is. And, you know, I hope that there is for a long time, because I think that there, you know, it clearly fills this gap, for parents who like me have been maybe, role playing for 20, 25 years. And, you know, we're all having our kids a bit later than, you know, our parents did, or this how my life has turned out. But, you know, and they have these kids who are in the same sort of age group, and they want to introduce them to role playing as well. So, you know, while there are parents like that out there, and there's always new parents coming along, I think that there's demand for a game like this that does allow parents to introduce their kids to role playing games in a kind of a, you know, a very accessible way, but also has lots of support. So, you know, if they do happen to get into it, then you've got plenty of material there for you to play with them. And so, you know, there are websites out there of, you know, parents who, you know, homebrew their own versions of Hero Kids into Star Wars, which inspired me to do a kind of space adventures things, or they do kind of Red Guard or Mouse Guard sort of hacks of it, or they, you know, hack it into long campaigns that they run with their kids. So, you know, it's always great, you know, watching people, watching how they use it, and then that inspires me to make new stuff for it all the time.
That's cool. And it is really, it's a timeless game in the sense that, you know, the stuff that you generated 3 years ago isn't old, in the sense that you could play it today or tomorrow. I mean, you said that one of the first things you did was Basement of Rats, which is now 3 years old, but my kids wouldn't know the difference, and we just played it 3 days ago. So,
yeah,
it really is a timeless medium and a timeless game specifically. Although I didn't know there was a sci-fi expansion. I'm going to have to go find that.
sounds
pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was literally inspired by, you know, another parent, a guy called Ted Korskis or Kaleska. Anyway, his name is very hard to pronounce. But another parent called Ted who'd taken Hero Kids, and because there are blank like hero cards in there that you can make your own characters, he had gotten a bunch of images of kind of Star Wars characters, and he'd, you know, kind of slap them onto the cards for his kids, and he ran them through a science fiction, you know, Star Wars campaign. using the rules and, you know, without any kind of modification, because the rules can support both sorts of fantasy and sci-fi play. And, you know, it was so inspiring that I decided that I'd go out and make, you know, 3 adventures for that and do a bunch, like commission a bunch of art for it and release the characters and make a whole new version of Hero Kids. Well, not a whole new version, but a whole new genre for Hero Kids around the science fiction side of it. I think that science fiction is nowhere near as popular as fantasy is just generally. I think it's like D&D, or it's like role-playing games where, you know, fantasy is the huge part of the market, and then, you know, there's this science fiction part on the side, which is maybe, you know, half or less as big. But I think, you know, a lot of people want to play like that, and especially these days where there are such, you know, such great inspiration for kids, like, you know, Star Wars, Rebels, the TV show that's on at the moment, and, you know, maybe new Star Wars films that will get kids into that kind of sci-fi adventuring. You know, there's definitely some demand there.
Right. I completely agree. And I think those things ebb and flow, right? So the medieval fantasy stuff is super popular right now, but it will change, I'm sure. It'll cycle back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's kind of Lord of the Rings, which had a huge burst of popularity a few years ago, and there's a new edition of Dungeons & Dragons, which has come out and been super popular as well. And, you know, hopefully this role-playing isn't a hobby that, you know, dies with people who grew up with the old version of D&D. Hopefully there's a new generation of players coming in as well. You know, I do a D&D encounters at a local gaming store here, and, you know, and the idea there is, you know, people who are curious about that, you know, role-playing games can just come in and try it out and see if it's for them, in, you know, kind of a very safe and pleasant environment, and, you know, with interesting people helping them learn the game.
Definitely. And, you know, I mean, things like Hero Kids are going to go a long way towards making that a reality. You know, it's the entree that we need for our kids to get them to engage in gaming in that creative space that role-playing games allows. So hats off to you for making something that is super, super fun. And my kids are enjoying it, and they're definitely going to force me to play more. Not that I wouldn't want to, but my wife actually played as a character, and she enjoyed herself too. So it's approachable enough at many levels. And that's something that I really, really like about it.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. And the idea, you know, one of the kind of key elements of the game was that I wanted it to kind of scale with kids as they grow up. So, you know, younger kids can play it at a fairly simple level where they're, you know, for example, the character sheets, which are called hero cards, you know, they're kind of half of a sheet of paper size. You know, younger kids can just look at the icons and at it on the card and know their hero's kind of capabilities. And then as they get older, they have, you know, different kind of special powers that they need to be able to read to use, and they need to be able to maybe use strategies or tactics, you know, to use those special powers. So, you know, young kids can just, you know, look at the icons and know how their character attacks, or, you know, what sort of skills or inventory they have. And the older kids can kind of use these other powers, you know, and maybe even combine them with other heroes in the game played by other players and, you know, team up and use their special powers, together to make them even more powerful.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My 4-year-old and 6-year-old were already working together with, because they were both warriors, so they had the teamwork ability.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and I ended up just throwing extra rats on the board that was well over what the recommended difficulty was, because they were just destroying them.
Yeah, if you have two warriors working together like that with teamwork, they get an extra dice when they're next to each other, don't they? And, you know, then they can split their attacks and, you know, maximize them even more.
It was rat carnage.
It sounds like they've got some good tactics there. You must be very proud.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah, there's some smart kids. So we're going to have a lot of fun with Hero Kids, I think.
Cool.
But we're just about out of time. But what I did want to do is thank you, because what you've done is you've offered up a copy of Hero Kids and that Basement of Rats adventure for a contest winner. And I haven't figured out what the contest is going to be yet, but I will figure out a contest, and then somebody is going to win a free copy of the game, and that is awesome. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it very much.
And this free copy of the game. This is a free copy of the game and all of the adventures and all of the extra expansions as well. So, you know, they'll have a whole lot of fun.
Oh, that's more than I have. That's super cool. Does that include the sci-fi expansion?
Yep.
Wow. All right. Awesome. Well, unfortunately, I cannot try to win that, but somebody will, and it's going to be super, super cool. So, again, thank you very much for coming and spending some time with the Family Gamers, and I look forward to playing some more Hero Kids.
Cool. Thank you very much, Andrew. Thanks for having me, and, you know, thanks for having me on the show, and, you know, keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much, and have a good night, sir.
Well, that was a great interview.
Yeah, what'd you think?
That was cool.
That was cool?
Yeah.
I love his accent.
Yeah.
It's so lovely. All right, well, so that's going to be it this week.
We don't want to take up too much time.
Right.
And we have so much to talk about next week. But
next week is going to be so great.
We're talking
about
all
this Boston Fig stuff. But we did promise a contest, and I am a man
contest,
of my word.
Contest. Giveaway, free stuff.
Yes, so here's the deal.
Everybody likes free stuff.
I mentioned during the interview that Justin was nice enough to give us a code.
Yes.
On drivethroughrpg.com, so you'd need to have a DriveThruRPG account for everything Hero Kids that he has ever made.
Everything.
Everything.
That's so
which
awesome.
Which is awesome. And so, naturally, I'm sure you're wondering right now, tell me how I can win. Tell me how I can win.
Tell me how I can win.
Should we tell them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to put a special contest post on our Facebook page.
Can I comment on the post and win?
You can comment on the post, but you cannot win.
Oh, because I'm part of the Family Gamers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now,
all
if
right.
you were listening to the show and you said, with an Anitra, can I comment on this post and win? For you, the answer is yes.
You all can comment and win. I can comment, but I cannot win.
That's correct. So please check out the Facebook page, The Family Gamers. It's facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA for Andrew and Anitra. There is a special post that we will put up with the show tomorrow.
Yep.
It's not going to be the show post. It will be a special post that says, this is the contest post. It's going
this
to say that
the
right
contest
at the top.
Post. Who do you look forward to playing Hero Kids with?
Yes. If you win this game from us and from Justin, who are you going to play Hero Kids with? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, you know, your kids? Is it going to be maybe you have some neighbors who have some kids and, like, you're trying to get them into gaming or something like that? Maybe you have, you know, nieces and nephews or whatever.
Grandchildren?
Sure. That would be awesome. That would be super cool.
I know one or two people who listen to this podcast who might be old enough to have grandchildren
maybe.
To play games with.
So find that contest post and comment on it with who you would like to play Hero Kids with, and we will have the contest open for 2 weeks.
That sounds good. 2 weeks.
So we will select a winner on the 28th of September.
Okay.
And if you don't have a Facebook account, then go ahead and comment on the show post that's going to be on our website,
yes, thefamilygamers.com, episode 5.
Yep. We won't have a special contest post on our website, but we will have the post for this show. So if you don't want to comment on Facebook on our Facebook page, you can go to our website, thefamilygamers.com, comment on the post for episode 5.
Yes.
And we will combine you in with all of the
with
other,
all the Facebook people.
With the millions of people who are going to enter our contest on Facebook.
The tens and tens
of people. Hey, the millions of people.
Tens and tens.
Dozens. Dozens. Whatever. Anyway, so that's going to be it for the show. I really hope you guys enter the contest because this game is super awesome. My kids love it. I love it.
Yes.
Anitra loves it. And that's basically
you will
it.
Love it, too.
You will love it, too. I pretty much promise you that, especially if you've ever played something like a D&D. I mean, it's like that, but it's more simple and it's straightforward
way easier.
For the kids. And you can print it and play it, and it's, it's easy. So, please like our Facebook page.
Yes. Comment on our Facebook
page. Comment on our Facebook page.
Comment on our website.
Comment on our website.
How do we find our Facebook page?
You can go to facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
How about Twitter?
Twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Hey.
And then the website is
thefamilygamers.com.
Also, we really, 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 really would love it if you could subscribe to the show on iTunes.
Yes.
And leave us a review on iTunes.
Oh, please leave us reviews.
It turns out that leaving reviews on iTunes is actually really, really important in terms of the popularity of a show.
Yeah,
so
that's one of the biggest ways that you can help us get the word out to people who you don't know personally, because that's how people find new shows on the iTunes podcast.
Yeah, we met a ton of cool people yesterday at Boston Fig who are our parents or making games for kids and stuff like that. And so we're really hopeful for the future of the show and the kinds of stuff we're doing. And if you are hopeful for it as well, then please help us get the word out. And one of the big ways you can do that is by reviewing us on iTunes.
Yes.
So we're going to get going.
Can we say that again? Review us on iTunes.
Yeah, I think we might have driven the point home.
Beating the dead horse a little bit.
Yes. All right. So until next week, play games with your kids.